Hello and welcome to Taking Care of Business. I'm Jackie Mitchell. It seems any ambitious business person is engaging a business coach. But why? If you're already successful, why do you need someone to help coach you? If your business or your business career is doing well, why would you need a coach? Well, it appears that business coaches offer the key to continued and future success, whatever that looks like to you. Today, we dissect the list of whys as we discuss why have a business coach. Today's show is made possible by our wise friends at eView Real Estate. Our first guest is founder of The Coaching Circle and business mentor with over 30 years' experience, Clive Enover. Welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Morning, Jackie. Delighted to be here.
Good to have you here. Now, let's start with the obvious question. Why have a business coach?
One simple answer, growth.
Okay.
And regardless of how long somebody's been in business, you need to learn lots of things. It's a good idea, I think, to not start the way that I did because I thought I could do it better than the bloke down the road. And I didn't know anything about running a business back then.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. What did you do? Did you ran your own business? So you've got over 30 years experience in business coaching or in business?
In business.
Right, so yep. Take us back to the beginning. How did it start for you?
I started in sales back in 1977. And it was a very exciting time because I was learning all sorts of things and discovering that people were buying lots of things from me rather than from the other members of the team. Mm. That is, they were buying more from me. And I needed to know why that was. So I started studying sales. And as a result of that, I discovered that there are lots and lots of principles involved in selling. And if you apply those principles, you have a much greater opportunity of success. And many of those principles were just part of my personality.
Ah.
So having learned what they were, of course, I made better use of them. And as time passed, I found that it was the same thing with business, that there are principles involved in business, and if you apply them, you have a much greater opportunity of success.
Now, those principles are quite often linked to values. Did mm-hmm. you learn a lot of that from your family? Did your parents in business? Where do you think that came from?
Well, you learn that from everywhere, of course. Everybody that you run into has something to teach you, and I like to look at everybody that you meet is simply a messenger. They're going to show you something. So if you pay attention, you'll learn something. And in looking at that, yes, some of it came from my family. My family were actually farmers, dairy farmers. So good work ethic, starting at 4 o'clock like this morning is pretty common.
And do you still get up early? Is that still part of your routine?
Yes, early to rise and not early to bed.
No. So how long have you been business coaching for?
A little over 15 years now.
Mm. And is that when you started the Coaching Circle, which is your business?
No, the Coaching Circle only came into existence 2.5 years ago. Only a year ago. The reason for the Coaching Circle is to try and help people understand what a coach can do and to give coaches the opportunity of presenting themselves to a broader community so that everybody gets an opportunity to look at what can a coach do, which coach is right for me.
So what's the question you most often asked?
What can you do for me?
Coach. Oh, okay. And something like what are the key elements to business success? Are people wanting to know what they are, sort of unlocking the secret? You've got the key.
The question to provide that answer to is usually not phrased that way. Mm. Most of the people that I work with know that they want to move somewhere, but they don't necessarily know what it is that they want to move to, nor for that matter what they want to move away from. Frequently, we'll have a long conversation, myself and somebody else who's looking for an opportunity, and in discovering where somebody is and where they want to go, they start to get ideas that maybe there's an opportunity. And as a result of that, you can then move into their world and show them different things, different ways of doing things. Because I don't provide an off-the-shelf solution. I work specifically with the person, where the person is at any given time and where they'd like to go to. And of course, very much a case of they want to go to a particular place, and within a few sessions they discover that there's a better place.
Oh, okay.
And as they learn more, they learn more, and as they learn more, they grow more. I've had situations where people have been in business for 10, 12, 15 years, worked with me for one of my coaching programs, and as a result of that, in the next 12 months, they've multiplied their revenues times 20, their profits times 30. That type of thing is not uncommon.
I've had a number of guests in the studio on the show, and we've quite often talked about coaches and mentors. And from experience, the very successful people still have coaches and mentors. They actually attribute that to a key part of the success. But I've had the occasional person say, no, I've tried to have a coach and I've been told I'm uncoachable. What would you say to someone like that, Clive?
Where do you want to go? Because the only person who's uncoachable is the person who wants to tell the other person everything. One of the particular rules that I have is I don't tell anybody anything. And to that end, what I mean is that I find out where somebody wants to go, and then I show them ways that they can actually achieve whatever it is that they want. You know, we can have people in the same industry who, on the face of it, do the same thing, wanting to go to, on the face of it, the same place, who do that in a very different way. I recently coached a couple of lawyers independently, and if we'd swapped the information that each was using, notwithstanding they're in the same industry, neither would have had a clue how to do what it is that they do, and yet worked fantastically for each of them individually.
Well, so, I really want to delve deeper when we have introduced our other guests. The second half of the show, I want to talk about how we do that, some of the challenges, some of the trends. So digging a little bit deeper, particularly in the psychological side of things, I'm always fascinated in. So Clive, fantastic that you're here. Welcome to the show and look forward to the rest of it. Now, you might have heard when Clive was speaking then that he was being a little bit heckled in the background. You may have noticed. And that was his publicist is here, aka his partner in life and in business. But it's Linda Reed Enova. Hi,
yes.
Linda.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for having me
today. Good to have you here. Now, another source of modern business advice, besides the traditional methods of coaching or mentoring, is social media. And in 2014, you created a Facebook group called Business, 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 where business owners can connect with each other in a supportive arena. The group has grown and now it has its own dedicated website and over 11,000 members.
17,500 as of this morning. So,
yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you better update your LinkedIn profile.
My LinkedIn profile. Yeah. Plumber and the leaky tap. My publicity is the last thing that gets done.
It's always the way. Now, in 2014 when you started it, why did you start it?
Okay, why I started LinkedIn, the business group. Yeah, so good. I need more coffee this morning, Jackie. Yeah, let's get real honest with this.
You've travelled a long
way. I've travelled a long way. Yes. The reason we started the group is there's enough support. As a business owner, you need support. And there's enough on social media that is out there where people are getting heckled and shut down, not shut down, but, you know, told that what their questions are asking are silly or stupid or whatever they wanted to do. And actually it was at my niece's wedding. There was a few glasses of champagne involved and I'd watched a business group that I was an active member of, and the conversation came in that it's only these people that support all the time and they're just rah, 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 rah. Oh, that's it. I'm out. I'm going to make a group over here and hang out with my 50 business contacts and we'll just do work over here. That 50 has grown a hell of a lot.
Yeah, to 17. And it's just in Australia?
It's a international group. We didn't restrict it to just Australia because it's hard. Like Facebook, everyone says, oh, you know, you've got to have business profiles, locations, all of that sort of stuff. Some people don't want to have that stuff on their personal profile, so it's hard. And why should I stop a business owner in the States or a business owner in the UK or New Zealand getting the same advice and services just because we're an Australian-based group? And, you know, we're in the International Business Society, so why not?
And I noticed that you have have meetings with them as well. So it's not just all online. You actually do some face-to-face. Which is unusual because a lot of the online groups don't actually take it to that next level. Tell us a bit more about those face-to-face.
The face-to-face at the moment is not very structured. Our meetings are very structured, but it's wherever Clive and I are. And the reason it is particularly a face-to-face meetup and group is to get you out of the office because part of the reason the group exists is, you know what it's like when you used to go to the water cooler and you grab a coffee or something like that and you go, that happened to me today or something like that. So it's also about getting out and remembering that business is we are moving to more business owners where we're at home and those sorts of things and getting out with people who actually understand what you do.
Yeah, we had a guest recently and he said, I don't believe in B2B or B2C. I believe in H2H, which is human to human.
Awesome, yeah.
And I'm reading all these articles on LinkedIn at the moment talking about, you know, we need to spend more time alone and things. Well, our brains aren't wired for that. We're social creatures. And so loneliness is one of the greatest contributors to deteriorating health. And I think that social, you know, in social interaction, it's one of the most demanding things your brain can do, but it's also really good for your general well-being.
And look, one of our members yesterday had hit the wall and was almost about to give up on business and posted a thread about what do I do, all of those sorts of things. And she went through and did all of that. And I hope she doesn't mind me saying, but I actually sent her a quick message and said, okay, I have 20 minutes. Pick up the phone. Let's talk about, because they've got an event on this weekend. It wasn't going to plan. I said, if you call me, I will spend the next 20 minutes with you running through ideas how you can make the best out of this event. And it was just things like that, that little bit of extra support, that little bit of guidance. And she posted within the group in 5 minutes. I go, oh, thank God for this group. I would have given up and walked away on my business today.
Yeah.
And that is so awesome to hear that there's business owners are able to support each other in that respect.
Yeah, so we're talking for about sure. supporting each other in business and all sorts of things about why I have a business coach as we have our guest here, Clive Enover and Linda Reed Enover. Will you stick around for the rest of the show?
Why not?
On the other side of this break, we meet someone who's very tall. Very tall. She could hardly fit into the studio. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on Adult PFM. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. Our next guest is walking so tall, her head is almost hitting the ceiling, or is she just doing business in very high heels? That was John Cougar Mellencamp, or John Mellencamp, I think he calls himself now, called Walk Tall. I have Walk Tall Mary Unwin.
Good morning, Jackie Mitchell.
Do you know that song, Walk Tall?
Good morning, I certainly do.
By John Mellencamp?
I can remember the original one, Val Dunigan. That is going way back.
Oh, do you use that in your workshops?
I would use the more recent one. That's yes.
Yeah.
The sentiment of walking tall is just awesome. The idea of standing tall, walking tall. I think of myself and my clients as encouraging them to look out to market, to look out to where your business people are, the people you're serving. And you can only really do that if you're walking tall.
I like a brand name that actually is outcome-driven and benefit-driven to the customer.
People seem to love it. Hence the Walk Tall Mary. That was a nickname that arose from clients and people. Oh, I know you. You're Walk Tall Mary. So
if you've gone on to listening now and go on to Taking Care of Business Facebook page, you'll see we did a Facebook Live earlier and Mary's really not that tall. But she is in a certain
tall
way.
Tall in heart and mind.
Yes. I like that. Now, why would you engage a business coach when someone says to you, what are you? Are you a life coach, a business coach? How do you describe yourself?
Well, if people do ask me that question, I describe myself as someone who helps you with your life business or the business of your life, meaning that if you are in business, you are going to have to be the right person. You're going to have to be in the right place, have done the learnings that you need to learn to move through obstacles, to move off repetitive things. I call it the roundabout, to move off the roundabout of procrastination, poor focus, maybe that secret little theory that you're not good enough. And I can help you be the person you need to be in business.
Okay. And what's the most effective or successful way to engage a coach?
That it's an awesome question, Jackie. I think it's important to try some out. Have some conversations with coaches. You can have a one-off session with a coach or a mentor and check them out. See what's happening. See what questions they ask you. Check out on their experience, who they've worked with, or the sorts of issues that they've worked with successfully and the results that they've gained.
Because quite a revealing and personal journey, because you're having to divulge if you're wanting to get the maximum benefit. You have to be honest with yourself, and sometimes a coach or a mentor can hold a mirror up to yourself and make you look at things that you don't normally see. Clive, do you find that when you're coaching people that it is quite, they're quite vulnerable if they allow it? Do people come to you with that vulnerability, or does it take a while to chip away at it?
Oh, I find that most of the people I work with certainly in a vulnerable position, but not from me. The point of that being that I see my role as helping them get to wherever it is that they want to be. Mm-hmm. And to do that, I'll show them whatever they need to see in order to get there. Mm. But having said that, I'm not going to frighten them. Mm. Yeah, we're in a carriage drawn by a number of horses. Let's not startle the horses before we start.
Exactly. I love that metaphor.
Yep. So mixing up the terms coach or counsellor, because sometimes they do cross over a little bit. So what's the difference, Mary, between the services of a coach and those of a counsellor?
I think that coach and mentor and counsellor get mixed up by our customers, our clients, and we can help them make a decision based on the conversation they might have with us. As a coach, I'm talking about the idea that you as a client are in the driver's seat of your own bus, your own chariot, as Clive was talking about before. Mm. I might be there as a passenger helping you temporarily to decide who's on your bus and what baggage you might be carrying, and that's what a coach is doing. Allowing the client to ask themselves questions about their values, their beliefs, the limits they might be setting on themselves, which can metaphor that as being the passengers, the baggage they're carrying on their own bus.
Who to turf off
and who to allow on the bus.
I'm glad you're using the term bus and not coach, because that would be a bit confusing.
Yeah, I would confuse myself on that one. Definitely.
Now, what results can you expect from engaging a coach?
I think the thing that I love about coaching is that the results can be quite immediate. If we're asking, as we do, questions that really enlarge people's thinking, help people to move away from assumptions and to notice their qualities, their strengths and their vision and their passion for what they're doing. So the questions we ask can actually create new thinking quite quickly.
So how are your coaching sessions organised? Clive mentioned he does one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that all you do, Clive? Do you do workshops or seminars as well, or you just do one-on-one sessions?
We do workshops as well, right, and seminars and such, but the primary occupation, if you like, is one-to-one.
One-to-one. Mm. Mary, what about yourself?
So I'm certainly doing one-to-one, but also what I call walk-tall workshops, which are more participative. That's why they're workshops and not seminars, and they're fairly small, allowing people to explore issues, but in a fairly safe way. Mm. But if people want to become more disclosed, then the one-to-one is definitely a way forward.
Linda Reed-Enever, with BBB, we'll call it BBB.
Yeah, call it BBB, yeah, it's a lot
which
easier.
Is the Facebook group, those that have just joined us, called Business, Business, Business. If you go onto Facebook, do you accept anyone?
We look at the profiles and we look at, there is three questions that you need to answer, and they're really, really simple. If you don't answer them, I'm going to ask you to answer them before you let you into the group. So
right.
That's one of the processes there. So you will need to answer, what do you want to get from the group and what is your business and what do you do?
Okay.
So it's not too hard.
No, that's reasonable. So it's interesting from your perspective, and we talked just before the break, there was someone that posted on there they were having some trouble. And that might be something that they would present to a business coach, but they've now used another platform because they were a bit desperate.
Yes.
And they've gone online and said, in this group, I've got an issue. How do you manage that from, I suppose, a coaching perspective? You've obviously got a key influence. Do you refer to Clive?
I refer to Clive, but I coach too, and it's really funny. No, I don't refer to you. It's really honest. No, I do. Look, we refer to Clive if Clive's the right fit. And I think most probably what I wanted to actually tap in on what both Mary and Clive were saying is you've got to find the right coach that works for you. Mm. Now, there are people that, and I think as a responsibility we have as coaches is to put our hands up and say, no, you're not ready for me now. I've quite often said to someone who comes and wants marketing and that coaching for me, nah, you don't have the foundations. You can throw money down the drain working with me all you like, but I'm not going to be the person who'll take that money from you. So I think you need to get your plans together. You need to get your foundations. You need to know where your vision is. So we've got to stand up and say, no, we're not the right person as much as the client's got to test out the coaches and those sorts of things. And that's part of the reason we built the coaching circle for Clive, was to allow us to be able to go, no, this is the coach you need to talk to, or this is the coach you need to talk to, and have them all in one place as well.
Yeah.
But from the BBB point of view, how do we manage it? We'll recommend people if we need to. In that particular circumstance, I saw that my background, my experience could help the member out, and I had a little bit of time to give, so I gave some time.
Now, you're an admin of the group. You've got other admins of the group.
Yes.
So what are some of the issues as admin of a group?
You're opening up Pandora's box.
I know,
now.
But I think it's an important one because it all sounds lovely and fluffy. Oh, let's create a Facebook group, but there are big issues in administering this group. What are some
of them? I didn't go into starting a Facebook group anyway shy or nature. I knew social media. I knew how hard the network works. And I say to this day, it is me and my team that admin the group. And my team know that I can get cranky. They know I can get grumpy. They can get grumpy back at me. And we can all sit there and go, did you know what such and such just said to me? You can't say that when you're a group of other people trying to admin a group. We can deflect off to one another. We can go, no, my emotions are way too high. You need to admin this one. You need to admin that one. But our guidelines are pretty simple. Be nice, play nice, and respect your other members and take some moments to tell them why you're sharing whatever it is you're sharing in the group. And if you want to spam, then we're really not this place for you. And I spoke to a member about that yesterday who decided to have a big hissy fit that admin had closed down a post.
Mm-hmm.
And my response was, just take a look at the guidelines. Take a look at the guidelines, particularly about respecting the admin team. And if you find the group's not for you, that's perfectly okay, because we're not going to be the group for everyone. And that's what we're going to look at from Facebook group point of view. But admin teams, we spend 8 hours a week looking after that group. The first thing I do in the morning is look at the group. I don't think, was it 11:30 last night? And I put the phone down. And the last thing I do before I go to bed is check the group, check that there's nothing going too crazy in relation to that sort of stuff. My assistant has had her baby in hospital and she was admitting at 1 and 2 in the morning. I could see that last night.
Do you use scheduling tools at all?
We use lots of scheduling tools. Yeah. The part of what we've got through the business website is we've worked, and what we're starting to share now is our skills section, which teaches business owners how to do things. And that's where Clive's and I are both moving to a commitment of getting one course a month out at the moment. We'll see how we go. which is training people online and giving access to BBB's taught me really quickly that business owners can't always get to workshops. We've got regional-based members who are literally hours away from cities and hours away from locations, so they need a little bit of that content delivered online.
Yeah. Clive, as a successful business coach, do you need a business coach?
I have a couple of coaches who I refer to on a regular basis just to make sure that I haven't really lost it.
Yeah.
You know, I talk with people about particularly personal things in order to allow them to grow, get beyond wherever it is that they are and quickly get to where they want to be. And in talking about that sort of thing, I want to make sure that I'm actually on the ball. So, yes, I refer to people and get myself checked out.
Yeah, well, I even have a coach that's not you.
Mm.
I have two other coaches that I work with as well.
I think in the coaching world, there's a lot of this on the surface, this my life is ideal and perfect, mostly at the beach.
Mm.
And I think we're certainly in this room, we're all saying, no, that's not the case, where there are moments of chaos, moments of doubt, and our own coaches, our own mentors get us through that.
Yeah, so you have
absolutely
coaches.
I think it's part of the package.
It's a job.
So we're not saying we've all got it sorted. We're just saying we know lots of strategies and some great questions to ask our clients to help them work out the way forward.
So you're walking the talk.
You're walking the talk. You
There's
have to.
Lots of play on words.
Got to be genuine. Got to be genuine.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business. We are picking some wonderful brains today about why having a business coach. Stick around for the next half of the show. We're going to delve a little bit deeper. We're going to unearth some really good tips, tricks, and some trends in this very big growth area in business, and it's for good reason. Stick around. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. So we're asking the big questions. Why have a business coach? And I'm here with my guests, Clive Enova, Linda Reed Enova, and Walk Tall Mary Unwin. Good to all have you here. Now, I'm going to dig a little deeper. We're going to dissect some issues. What I'd like to do for those listening that have never thought about, or maybe they've thought about having a business coach, but never actually, not quite sure what to expect. So I thought, well, let's do a little visualization exercise, because that's quite helpful, that what's involved in a session. So I'll start with you, Mary. So someone rings you up, is that how it happens? And said you were...
Sometimes.
Usually referrals, is that how you get most of your
referrals
business?
Certainly, but just conversations sometimes at the end of a networking meeting, which might be a face-to-face or a conference where I've met somebody I haven't seen for a while, that kind of thing.
And so what happens next? So
I call it a cafe chat, but it could be on the phone, and just a very casual chat, completely complimentary, to explore what they might be expecting, the questions they have for themselves, and how I might help, or as Linda said before, might refer them on to someone else.
Okay, and so the first session, is it a half day, half an hour? How is it structured?
Once we get into the more formal sessions, it's an hour. Mm. But I always say allow an hour and a half, because I'm happy to run on if they are, and to allow insight. And even if the conversation does end after an hour, if they're on the phone and they've got other commitments, it's useful to have a half an hour to allow the insights or the new thinking to sink in. Mm. Or for them perhaps to do some more writing or whatever they might want to do.
Do you give them some preparation to do prior to that session?
Usually the between session activity is around tasks or agreements we've made at the end of one session. So for next time, how about you get this and this and this? Or what do you see as needing to happen before the next session?
And do they book session by session, or do you then have a minimum, it's got to be 10 sessions for it to be effective? How does that work from a timeline?
Well, there's always a choice. But if people take on an ongoing relationship, it's 3 months, 6 months, a year. But it's flexible. We have to be flexible about the gaps between the sessions. In the end, it's a client-based industry. We are meeting. I want to serve my clients. So whatever works for them.
And what about accountability? So how do you make them accountable for the agreement that you say? You say you do all the tasks. And you get to the next meeting and you say, right, let's go through our agreement and these tasks that we both agreed on, and they haven't performed that task. How do you manage that?
I actually call it home play, so it's not quite so serious. And it gets away from the sort of teacher thing. But yes, I might check in with them sometimes private messaging or on email, just how are you going with that thing? Mm. Or how's the brochure going? Sometimes people I call it print, press and send. People actually acknowledging that the task is completed. Yeah. Yes, I am good enough to go on the radio. Yes, I am good enough to publish that brochure or that book or whatever it is, and allow the send to happen so that it becomes a process of actions, not thinking about it.
If they are not doing their home play, I really like that term, by the way. Have you ever sacked a client? Say, look, this isn't working. You're not listening to anything I'm saying. You're not doing any. You're not doing any of the recommendations. I really don't think you're serious about this.
Well, I think I might call a client on their seriousness. Sometimes I will say, so what happened? What else were you focusing on? And sometimes it's completely legitimate. Something else came up, which was, at the time was more important. We're in a fast-moving industrial business world. And therefore, people have to be flexible and adaptable, and I'd be encouraging that. But if I think that there's something to be unearthed in terms of some inner fear or inner self-doubt that's still coming up, that's there for looking at in a conversation to deal with that. If you like, that's an unwanted passenger on the bus. So let's turf that passenger off this session so that you really can move on to being a star in whatever business you're in.
Clive Enevar, what's your process? So based on that line of questioning that I gave to Mary, rather than asking you the same questions, I'm just looking at, again, from a visualisation perspective for those listening, what's involved in your session? Is it very similar to Mary's, or how does it differ?
Oh, there's lots and lots of similarities. Although the work play, the home play rather, nobody gets home play from me. They always get homework.
There we are already. Interesting. Yeah, it is interesting.
But somebody has a conversation with me, and essentially that's what it is. It's a conversation. I have lots of things that I want to know, but I don't give somebody a list and say, please answer these, because, as I mentioned earlier, it's really important to find out where the person is. For example, if we're having a program across a number of sessions, and to make this easier to understand, a session with me is 90 minutes, although sometimes it doesn't make it to the hour because people are very often saying, Clive, please shut up, you're making my brain bleed. Mm. So wherever we've left a situation at the end of that session and another session is a week later, and there are lots of reasons why it's a week and not a fortnight and not a month and all that sort of thing, but when we start that session 1 week later, it's really important to find out where they are, because where they were a week ago is not where they are now. They've learned new things. Whether or not it was what we wanted them to learn is irrelevant. They've learned something, and we're ready to move on to the next step in getting to where they want to be, because it's not a direct line from where they are to where they want to be in order the journey to end up. I mean, everyone who works with me is on the same journey, but everyone takes a different path, but we still get to the end. So all of these things are really important to take in, I think, when you're talking to people, because if I wanted them to come on my path, it's probably not going to work. So I have to get on their path and help them to get further and further and further ahead at whatever pace they can. And most of them find out that they do it a heck of a lot quicker than they thought they would, surprisingly enough. Oh, that's the benefit of a coach. Because we can, in identifying, when I say we, I mean me and the clients, not we as coaches putting this together. Mm. Me and the clients, we decide, see things that they might not see by themselves. And in seeing those things, it allows them to move really, really quickly.
I'm curious, you just mentioned before about you do weekly meetings. Why is it weekly and not fortnightly or monthly?
We have a session today, Jackie and I, mm-hmm. and at the end of that session, your brain is flying. You've learned or you've seen all sorts of things. Now, some of what we talk about, you're going to go, wow, that's for me. I really want that. Other things are going to frighten you. They're going to scare you so much you'll say, I could never do that. Now, you've got a week to do your homework, which might become home play. You've got a week to do your homework. And in doing that homework, some of what we've talked about, you've filtered and you've adopted or adapted. Mm. And other parts, you're going, ooh. Now, some of those other parts might be absolutely imperative that you take them on. So what we've got now is something that you need that frightens you. We've got to find out how you can do it, but not have it frighten you.
Mm.
And the week is enough for it to be fomented in your mind, but it's not long enough, like 10 days or a fortnight, for you to have started to forget it. In all of this, we've got to develop habits. Now, across the program, you're going to learn a whole bunch of new things. You've got to form the habit. This is how you do it, not the way you used to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We've all got these things in our mind where something happens to us and it gives us a fright and we go, oh, how did I deal with that before? Oh, that's right, I went and curled up in the corner in the fetal position and I rocked for 3 days. Now, if we go and do that again, we're going to get the same result we got last time. So we have to change that. We've got to stop ourselves from going back to what we did before, which didn't work, introduce something that will work, make it comfortable for us, and then we can do it. That becomes a habit really, really quickly. Because that's a habit, we get these really quick changes.
Mm.
People's minds change. They address things differently. They approach their business differently. They approach their customers differently. Because their customers see a different person, they feel better. They get a better reaction. The business person makes more sales. They feel better. Their customers feel better. Everybody has a better experience. The seller makes more sales, makes more money, has more money to spend on the family, spends more time with the family, and so it goes round and round and round.
That might annoy me as your wife, but your clients actually get to call you anytime they like.
Thank
in between you. On sessions. Now, it might drive me absolutely crazy. And poor little Charlotte, who's sitting in the corner over here, might go, oh, Daddy's on the phone again.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. Like, how's the access to you? So can people call you 24/7 or is there some sort of boundaries?
Absolutely they can. I've said before, you know, we're moving from a particular place to a particular place and it's going to happen quickly. Now, for some people, that gets frightening in between the sessions. So anyone on one of my programs can call me at any time with anything that's happened that they need an answer with straight away rather than wait until the session. And that could be as simple as I just had a customer in here who abused me and I'm falling in a heap.
Mm.
How do I cope? Mm-hmm. Bingo, 10 minutes fixed. And of course, we address the issue that caused the customer to get excited and we make sure that doesn't happen again.
Mary,
it can be a little, I call it a little pep talk or a laser chat, so a mini thing in between sessions sometime, whenever they want to. As long as they text me first, give me a 5 minutes warning, then I can be available. Of course, the other option, the other thing to mention there is, of course, I may be on the phone or in a session with another client, and of course, they're all high priority. Those are my people. And so, yeah, we're there to serve them in exactly the same way as Clive describes. But I'm setting limits in terms of saying, you can do this, but if you want a mini chat to set you off in the direction in the way that Linda described, the 10-minute, 20-minute conversation with one of her Facebook people, to set them off in the direction, get them out of the corner where they might be curled up in the fetal position, as Clive was describing. And haven't we all done that sometimes?
We hope you're enjoying eavesdropping on this fascinating conversation. Oh, I've got so many more questions, but I'll have to just hold my thought and hold my breath for a minute as we take a short break. You're listening to Taking Care of Business exclusively here on Ottawa PFM. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. Having a fresh pair of eyes, that was Andy Grammer, I do like that song. Having a fresh pair of eyes is always very useful in all elements of your life, but particularly if you're in business, whether you're running your own business or whether you are working for someone in the corporate sector. As a business person, having those fresh pair of eyes is really useful. And I'm here with the panel of my expert coaches, Walk Tall Mary Unwin, Clive Enova, and Linda Reed Enova. Clive Enova, we talked just before the break about having those fresh eyes. Do you find that sometimes when, you know, clients are coming to you, for you it's absolutely crystal clear? They're in some sort of fog or a haze, and you can just, with a fresh pair of eyes, go bang.
Sometimes that's the case. Other times one has to dig a little deeper to find out why the fog is there. And many times I've had people come along and go, you know, I've got this business and this is not happening and that's not happening and something else is not happening. And I'm looking at it going, wow, how did you get this business? Get it out there. And you know, once we've cleared the fog away, all of a sudden the business is flying and that's fantastic. But it's not to knock people to say that they're in that situation. We've all been there at various times, and it's how you get out of it. Do you take 10 or 15 years to work away at it, work away at it, work away at it, or do you find somebody who actually has the answer? And that knocks out all those years. And if you're talking business, okay, you start out in business and you do something in year one. You'll probably do something better in year two if you've got it right, and in year three you'll do it better. So if it takes you 15 years to figure out what you need to do, you're starting year one on year 16.
Mm.
Let's start year one and year one.
It's interesting. It's a lovely segue into experience, because I want to spend a little bit of time talking about coach versus mentor. And I'm going to start the discussion because I do quite a bit of executive business mentoring in my work life, and I do not call myself a coach because I haven't done coach training. And I find that the mentor, from my perspective, is based on experience. So if I'm dealing with other business people that are going through a similar experience that I've had before, that I can offer advice and some insights into how they could approach a certain way and how they're feeling. What's your definition, Walk Tall Mary, on the difference between a business coach and mentor?
It's an interesting question, Jackie. Mm. I think for me, a coach is, I'm referring back to my bus again, the metaphor, the coach or a coaching conversation, because it's always a conversation, is about removing or helping to get clear on the fog that Clive talked about, the obstacles, the limits, where we're tripping over ourselves on the way to some successful outcome. Choosing the passengers on the bus, removing the baggage, getting rid of things that you don't even know are there that are getting in the way of business efficiency, business success, business enjoyment, whatever it is. Mm. So for me, that's the coaching conversation. The mentor conversation might be more long-term, more about action plans, going forwards, the route to take, strategy, and setting directions or changing directions. Small changes will lead to vast changes in direction. And in business at the moment, things like Amazon arriving in Australia will cause all sorts of disruption. We need to be aware of that. And that's the kind of long-term planning that business mentors can help with.
Mm. Now, Clive, I know you've got a view on this. What is it?
Well, I'm both.
Mm. Yes,
because
yes, I would too.
As my name is, Clive Enver, the business mentor. Mm. However, I coach people through the mentoring. Yes, I help people build long-term strategic plans, and sometimes that term's frightening for people. So what I really do is actually build them a foundation, and from that foundation, everything can grow. Lots of people try and build a long-term plan, and they build a plan, but it doesn't work, or they don't work it, because we haven't got the foundation right. If we get the foundation right, you can build anything you like on top of that. So it's really important, I think, to dig down and find out what somebody really, really wants. What's their burning desire? What's their reason for being here? Why do they exist in this business? My coaching program, for example, the initial 12-session program, is one which will give somebody a yes or a no answer. And by that I mean, if you find out that you shouldn't be in business, that's what it tells you. Mm-hmm. And it tells you that because you've told it. That's what the program's about, yes or no. Now, if it comes up that something's not right, you've got an opportunity to fix it and make it a yes. But if it's everything is wrong, perhaps we need to change our business, get something else. Now, and I have had people who I've worked with and we've gone through the program and it's come up that, no, you should not be doing this business. And that was fine. So in one particular case, saved them over $500,000 that they were about to spend.
Mm.
And they were very pleased with that. And so was I, that they didn't spend it. But people who work with me typically are beginning in a place of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. The program typically unfolds in a way that allows those people to move from that uncertainty into a state of chaos. Now, lots of people are frightened by chaos. If there's chaos around you, you should be delighted because you are about to learn something. So as you push through that chaos, you then move into finding form and clarity, and form and direction, I beg your pardon, which gives you clarity. Once you have clarity, you can identify certainty. Once you've identified certainty, you are guaranteed success.
Oh, wonderful pearls of wisdom. I love listening to that. Now, Linda, what's your definition of the difference between a mentor and a coach?
See, this is a topic that pops up in BBB all the time. Yeah. And I think in either case, whether you're a coach or a mentor, you have to be a bit of both.
Mm.
Because if you're a mentor, you've got to be in someone's corner and you've still got to be coaching them along throughout the process. If you're sharing your experience and your knowledge, which is most probably more what I do when I pair a marketing coach people, and I say a coach because I'm still going to make you do the homework, because if you want me to mentor and do it all for you, then you pay us to do it all for you. So when we coach people through, and I've had a client who's come to me after years of paying people to do it for her, and I have guided her while she's been overseas talking to people in different languages on how to get her brand, her photos and all of that stuff together. And the key element is everything that's been done for her, she didn't understand. So now she understands it. So I think as a coach and as a mentor, and I'd say I'm a bit of both. Mm-hmm. I'm in your corner. Yeah. I'm going to rah, rah, rah. But, you know, one of my clients said quite equally, I'm absolutely 100% sure you will kick my butt if I don't have anything done that you asked me to have done.
Exactly.
Yep, they know that I'm going to be sitting there going, what's going on, guys?
But that's what they needed, obviously.
And so, I put it this way. If I'm coaching you, you're one of three clients I coach because that's between five businesses. That's the time slot I have. So I'm not going to waste my time or your time. We've got to work together. And I have sat clients because it hasn't worked or it hasn't worked for me. And if I'm not enjoying it and the girls and I aren't passionate about working with someone on the marketing basis, we can't take you to market.
Clive, do you have a cap on the amount of people that you work with?
Yes.
And no.
And I haven't reached it yet.
All right.
But that's through design.
That's a great answer. Mary, what about yourself? Do you have a cap on how many people that you can actually...
No, I take on what Linda said before about I know that I'm quite happy to refer people on to other, what I think of as specialists, coaches who work with particular kinds of uncertainties, if you like, or fears that are expressed by their clients. So I'm happy to refer people on, and that's happened to me. And I would never coach a friend, and sometimes I refer friends on to other coaches. So no, there's no cap. I just enjoy the journey and who turns up at workshops or individually.
We are sadly coming to the end of our show, and I just would like to finish off. I like to sort of finish a pearl of wisdom or one tip to leave our listeners with. So those listening who are actually with a coach or thinking seriously about engaging a coach or hadn't thought seriously about it until they've listened to this program, because I think the consensus is it's certainly recommended for serious consideration. Mariana, what's your takeaway, number one tip you'd like to leave everyone with today?
I think this is referring to the uncertainty we've mentioned in the program. Asking ourselves always and constantly, are we always already good enough? And are we aware of that? And then asking everybody out there, which is our customers as well as ourselves, are you interested or are you committed to the success that you really want?
Mm. Walktourmary.com.au.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you for being in the studio and on the show. Clive Enova, what's your one takeaway?
One of my favourite sayings, what is... is. What is really doesn't matter. What matters is how we react to what is.
Oh, that's really philosophical and I love it.
Got me thinking.
Clive, if people want to contribute to you reaching your cap, where can they contact you?
cliveenova.com.au.
Great. We'll put a link to our Facebook page today. Linda Reed Enova, it's always a delight having
you
in the
studio.
Thank you.
It's lovely
to come in. Now, what's your one takeaway?
Okay, my number one tip is regardless of whatever question you've got burning, ask it. There is no silly question out there. There's nothing out there. You can ask it and you can ask it to many, many coaches, many mentors. The one who gives you the answer you're passionate about, that's the one you go follow. And that's the one you engage with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a nice way to finish off the show.
Yeah.
And go for it. We're sure you've learnt something new today and feel inspired. We look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, keep taking care of your business.